Blog Talk Radio.
Back control.
welcome to the Rifleman Radio Show. The Rifleman Radio Show is brought to you by the Appleseed Project, which is the sole project of the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. The Revolutionary War Veterans Association is dedicated to bringing you the absolute best fundamentals of rifle marksmanship program in the United States today. The absolute best. And at the same time, thrown in as a freebie, you'll get an introduction to the history of the United States. And by an introduction, I mean we're going to start you at the very beginning, or April 19th, 1775, the day that men and women stood together in ranks in order to begin the process of gaining their independence from England. And we'll talk to you about the folks involved, who the players were, what they did, why they did it, what the outcome was, and what they had in mind for the nation down the road. On top of that, you'll get two solid days of rifle safety, which is one of the things that we're really, really good at. So how do you get to one of these events? Well, you can go to rwva.com. That's rwva.org, rather. Let me repeat that, rwva.org. That's our homepage. On the homepage, you'll see a list of tabs across the top. The second from the left says Appleseed. Put your cursor on that. You'll get a drop-down menu. On the drop-down menu, you'll see Schedule. Click Schedule, and that'll take you to the page that has a map of the United States on it. And then look at that map and either click on the state you want to attend an event in, or in the text above it, there's a hot link embedded in the text that says all states. That'll give you a listing of all the events. That's if you're in, if you're living close to a border or in a state that has a smaller state that has a bunch of different states around it, then you can look and see all of the different events that we'll have in that area. So you can jump across the border and go to an event if there's not one that's occurring in your state. And every weekend of the year, we're holding events. Two-day rifle marksmanship events every weekend of the year within a reasonable driving distance of you, all right? So there's no reason you can't make one. There is, this isn't something to be put on the list of someday I'll do such and such, someday I'll do this, someday I'll do one of these, because we all know what happens to that list, and that is nothing ever gets done on it. You put this on the list of I'm going to do this month. I'm going to go to an Appleseed this month. Listen, it's the least expensive form of rifle education that you can get in the United States today. The least expensive and the most comprehensive. So there's not a better deal than that. On top of that, you're going to meet a great bunch of folks. Every time I look at the folks gathered at an Appleseed event, I see the absolute best America has to offer, the best folks in the nation. So if you currently have a bunch of sorry friends and you're wondering why am I still hanging around with these guys, these guys that are borrowing my tools and never bring them back, guys that don't want to go to the shooting range with me and shoot, what am I doing with these guys? Well, come to an Appleseed, get some better friends, drop the old ones, all right? That's what I did. I couldn't be happier. My friends now are some of the best folks America has to offer. And I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be prouder of them, prouder of what they're doing. If you're looking for a way to get involved and make a difference in what's going on in the nation, I'm giving you the opportunity now. I'm not telling you that Appleseed is going to fix every problem in the United States, because it's not. It's not what it's designed to do. What it's designed to do is to get you to understand that the responsibility for safeguarding the freedoms and liberties that living in this nation affords you falls on your shoulders. You are the one that is supposed to be accepting the responsibility for maintaining and safeguarding the freedoms and liberties of this nation. It's not for you to delegate to anyone else. It's for you to accept the responsibility and begin doing something about it. We can help you get started if you come to an Appleseed Rifle Marksmanship event. We can make it easy on you, easy on your pocketbook, and easy for you to get to one. I told you how to find it. Now all you have to do is go there and register. As I said, don't put this on the list of things that you might do someday, because you'll never go. You'll never do it. All right? Get rid of that habit, that bad habit of not doing the things that you know you should do. Replace it with saying, I'm going to go to an Appleseed event. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to one this month. I'm going to go right now to rwva.org. I'm going to find an event. I'm going to find an event that I'd like to attend, and then I'm going to pre-register for it. I'm going to pre-register for it, and I'm going to go. I've been waiting long enough. I've got my new rifle that I want to learn how to shoot. I've got my grandfather's Garand. I've got my new AR. My wife, I want her to be able to shoot. And personally, I don't want to have to deal with trying to teach her or having her yell at me. So I'm going to hand that over to the guys at the Appleseed Project. My kids, same thing. I told them that before they leave the house, I'm going to have them up to speed with their rifle marksmanship. So I'm going to take them to an Appleseed. I'm going to have the Appleseed instructors there deal with them. And you know what? We will. We'll do it in a fantastic way that will make them feel like responsible individuals. We'll treat them like young adults. And it may be the first time that they've ever been treated like that, and it may be a life-changing event for them. Why do I say that? How do I know that? Because I've experienced it over and over. And it wasn't just my opinion that it happened. It was directly from the words that the folks attending it sent me. The young men, the young women, they came to the events, and at the beginning of the events, they were sitting in a chair with their musical devices stuck in their ears, with that look on their face like, why do I have to be here? And by the end of the day, their parents weren't going to bring them for that one day, because they knew that their kids were not going to enjoy it, and they were going to try and leave, you know, before the event was over, and then they certainly weren't going to come back the next day. And lo and behold, when I ask who's coming the next day, these kids are jumping up and down, looking at their folks, saying, can we come, can we come? I'm not making this up. That's what happens, all right? It's what happens when the young folks are treated as young adults, are given a challenge to improve their rifle marksmanship, they're given a goal, they meet and then exceed that goal, and the logical follow-on question is, what next? What goals can I set for myself next? What goals can I complete? That's what we do. We've gotten really good at it. All right. Tonight's guest was supposed to be Sheriff Richard Mack. But he called, I believe it was either yesterday or the day before yesterday, and said that he had the opportunity to speak to a group tonight, and the group was going to be a gathering at the same time as the radio show. And I told him, no problem. We were glad that he's coming on the show, and we'd certainly be able to work with his schedule. He's going to come on next week. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Sheriff Richard Mack, he's a former Arizona sheriff, and he was the sheriff of Graham County, Arizona, and he's been, and this was in, let's see, I believe early 1990s, and he has always been an advocate, a crusader for freedom and individual rights. Now, he did that even while he was a sheriff, and he's retired from law enforcement right now, and he spends his time on the road talking to folks about the constitutional duties of the state's sheriffs, state's rights, and the state sheriffs, who are the highest law enforcement officer in the state, is the county sheriff. Their powers exceed those of all other law enforcement officers, including federal officers and police. The sheriff is the highest level of authority, constitutional authority, in the state. He's putting together a program, another current program that he's working on, which is the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. You can find this at www.cspoa.org. All right? And you can find Sheriff Mack's website at www.sheriffmack.com. Anyway, he's been doing a great job and trying to make sure that everyone understands that the government should exist to protect the freedoms of the individuals that it serves. All right? That's a very, very simple thing. The government should exist to protect the freedoms of the individuals whom it serves, not the other way around. That we are not supposed to be the servants of an ever-expanding government determined to narrow and whittle down our freedoms one by one. So please join us this next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, when Sheriff Mack will be our guest, and he'll give you a lot of great information. What rights does the constitutionally actually guarantee? Why it's important that we not allow our means of self-defense to be taken from us? What the dangers of giving government too much power are? What we can do to remain strong as individuals and families so that we can remain strong as a nation? How to win the war on drugs, and what can the sheriffs do to protect us from all enemies, both foreign and domestic? Now, he's written a great number of books, and he's been speaking across the nation to everyone who will listen. And I'm telling you, Sheriff Mack isn't just a rabble-rouser, all right? He's trying to guide the folks in the nation back to understanding that the role of the state government is as important and actually more important than the role of the federal government. He talks about constitutional law, state sovereignty, the right to keep and bear arms, drugs and border security, and he's just a very talented guy, very smart guy, and a very down-to-earth guy. You guys are certainly going to enjoy him on as our guest next week. And as always, if you have someone that you want to hear on the program, then you can either send the information to me on how to contact them, or if you want to talk to them and ask if they want to come on the show, that's great. Do that, forward me the information, and we'll see about getting them on the show. We've got we got a long list, and I'll publish the list in, I'll say, in the next week or so of the upcoming guests. I've been trying to get them all in one line, in one order, before I publish it, but I'll try and get it published for you guys this week. I'll post it on the forum and on Facebook, et cetera. Then you can always go to the blog talk, to the show there, to the Blog Talk Radio site, and it should be posted there. Also, any of the shows that we've done over the last 3 years are archived there. So if you'd like to listen to any of the shows, except for the first year or so, okay, don't go back and listen to those, because I knew even less about what I'm doing than I do now, which is really hard to imagine, but yes, it's true. All right. At the beginning of each of the shows, what we'd like to do is make sure that we give you guys an opportunity to call in and give praise and congratulations, et cetera, to your local crews, to the folks that have been doing a great job, and folks that you'd like to give thanks to. Maybe you've got a new orange hat, somebody that just shot to Rifleman Standards and they've accepted their orange hat. Maybe somebody that just shot to Rifleman Standards. They've been working at it for a while and they finally got it. You want to tell them congratulations. Somebody that's got their red hat or their shoot boss hat, or somebody that's been doing a great job with your group in promo. It doesn't even have to be an Appleseed member. It can be somebody that has been helping you out or helping the program out. Now, tonight, the show is going to be a call-in show, and so all through the night tonight, we'd like you guys to call in. You can call in at 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790, and I'm sure the I tried to download the most current version of the Adobe Flash player, and I couldn't get it to load up. So I guess I'm a version behind. And Blog Talk is very snippy about that. If you don't have the most current version on, it doesn't want to load up the show. So I can't see in the chat right now. Hopefully it'll load up in just a little while. Until then, I'll rely on the excellent services of our call screener, and he can put the websites out there and the telephone number for the show, and also the folks that have relayed to me that they have some type of a business or a organization or something that they are starting up and that they would like for us to get the information about. If you're if you have some kind of a venture that you're beginning and you would like us to mention it here on the radio show, we'll be glad to do it at no charge. I'll make sure that the Blog Talk folks know that I'm not charging any money for this because I haven't subscribed to the what they call I guess monetizing the site. I haven't monetized the site, which means I don't put ads on there. I don't get any money for doing the show. I don't get any money from Appleseed. I don't get any money from Blog Talk. Nobody. That lets me pretty much do what I do without owing anybody anything. All right. Sometimes I look back at it. I look at the number of downloads we've had on the show. Over 100,000, and I'm thinking maybe I went the wrong way. Maybe I should have monetized this site, but it's not. So I'm not getting any money for this. What I'm doing is, any of the folks, any of our Appleseed brothers and sisters, if you guys are doing anything, any commercial thing, then we want to help you. All right, that's one of the things that we do. We stick together, we hang together, we help each other, we uplift each other. And if you have something that you're selling, and I need it. And I want to buy it from you before I buy it from somebody else. And I played the full song of Control from Poker Face tonight again because Poker Face was kind enough to give us some music free of charge for our bump music there, for intro music. And they're a great musical group, and they're all a bunch of screaming libertarian types, because I already talked to Paul. You guys have heard him on the show before. He's not a libertarian per se. He's his own individual party type person, but they have a lot of libertarian type beliefs, and they do a great job of spreading the message of safeguarding the freedoms and liberties across the nation during their tours and at their events and stuff. So www.pokerface.com, and don't be excited if you go there and you see some of the album covers and stuff like that. Give it a listen before you get freaked out and run away, and listen to some of the music. And if you like it, then show them that you like it by purchasing some of their music. Now we got several other folks too, and like I said, I can't see the. Can't see the chat right now, but I'm sure the call screener usually does a good job of putting the names of the folks in there that are asking us to do this, and we're glad to do it. We've got Tallis Glock and Blue Feather out in New Mexico. They used their specialized doctor of jurisprudence degrees and business degrees and everything else. They're extremely intelligent folks, so they know exactly how to make soap. They know the scientific makeup of it, et cetera. They know the legal ramifications of making soap, and of course I'm just giving them a hard time because they're actually fantastic folks. the salt of the earth folks, and they're doing everything they can to help safeguard the freedoms and liberties that living this nation affords Americans. And they're devoting a huge amount of time to Appleseed, and they're seven-stepping, and they're doing everything that they can. I mean, these guys are totally committed. And just to throw into the mix there, they make a fantastic handmade soap. I mean, absolutely fantastic. So, and I never, I've got to tell you, I never thought that I was a like a handmade soap or a frou-frou person. And I probably wouldn't have been, except that Blue Feather was kind enough to stick a stack of bars of soap in my bag before I left when I went up there to do an IBC in New Mexico a couple of years ago. Well, it's more than that now. And soap was absolutely fantastic. The only soap that I've found that I can use on my hands in the winter to keep them from cracking to pieces. And then because they crack to pieces, and then I get oil and diesel in the cracks, and so my hands never get clean, or at least they look like they never get clean. Well, I use the soap that she gave me, and my hands don't do that. I wash my hands before I go out to work. I come back in at lunchtime. I wash them with the soap. I wash them in the evening with the soap, and my hands stay uncracked. All right? Now, I know that I know from talking to Sam D, who's also a New Mexican, that she started making the handmade shaving soap, too. And I'm not sure exactly what other products she carries right now, but if you want to get in touch with her, you can just Google Blue Feather Soap, and it'll take you straight to her. All right? We've got several other folks that we have been working with, and the call screener is going to put those into the chat too. Remember Beth Schoenberg from the Derry Brownfield show. She has her own show now, and if you are looking for a radio show to listen to, you can tune into her new show, and let's see. You'll have to look in the chat for that. And as soon as it comes, I will read the website out to you, and then I'll post it on the show page on the forum so that you can see it. But Beth Schoenberg is a great friend to the Appleseed Project, and when she was running the Derry Brownfield show, she has us on there all the time to talk about the Appleseed Project. She talked about it when we weren't on there, and she had she always has great guests on her show, dedicated to the same thing the same kind of mission that we have, which is preserving the rights and freedoms of American citizens. So, listen to her show, and we're going to talk to you in a few minutes about some of the other folks. But as I said, tonight we're going to open the phones up. So everybody that would like to call in, this is your chance to call in. And I've been with the Appleseed Project since just about the beginning. And I think I maybe missed one shoot. And Go ahead. I've been with the steering committee, the master instructors, advisory boards. I've been in the administrative part of it ever since the beginning. So I know about all of the policies and the programs and the reasons that things were done, and I know about our history. And there's not much that I'm not aware of. That's been going on in the program. So if you have any questions about the history of the program, how it got started, any of the policies, procedures, et cetera, anything like that, you guys are welcome to call. If I don't know the answer, I'll find it out for you. But you guys are welcome to call and ask any questions. What I'd like for you to do first, though, is call in to give the folks or in your local crews, to give them thanks for the jobs that they've been doing. So we'll start taking those calls right now. First call here is Kirk Spitstickler. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Scout. How are you doing?
No, I'm just dandy. How about yourself?
Well, I came across something today, and I thought it would be a good question for the audience here. And of all places,
right.
I came across it on Facebook. And this is Top Shot on History posted on their wall. If those of you aren't familiar with Top Shot, it's the they've had a marksmanship program on nationwide TV for the last couple of years. And,
right.
You know, don't often recommend folks watch a lot of TV, but you ought to check this out. Anyway, so they posted a question. It says, which one of history's top shots' superior marksmanship played a key role in the battles of Saratoga? It says, find out here, and it has a link. And, of course, as an Appleseed person, you know, you don't need to click on the link to answer that. So I was just hoping that, and I'll post the link here in the chat, that I'd encourage anyone that's listening to go answer the question over there on their page. It'll be a great way to do a little easy seventh stepping. So all these folks that follow Top Shot on the History Channel on Facebook, you'll see Appleseed showing up and putting in their 2 cents.
All right. Well, don't post it in the chat yet. We'll let somebody, whoever knows the answer to that, can call in. The first person that calls in with the answer to that, we'll send them a couple of free Appleseed certificates that they can use to get folks, one of their buddies, to attend an event. And if you're already a member or a shoot boss or something like that, well, you can still send it to you. You can still give it to somebody that you would like to give it to get them to attend an event. So, and this is also a project that that Kirk Spitzickler and I have been talking to about for a while. And what we'd like for you guys to do is start looking around and seeing if we can't use our free certificates to Appleseed as currency to start buying promotion on the radio. What I mean by that is, If you give the radios a free certificate, you say, hey, listen, I want to give you guys some free certificates. So you should always take them because, you know, it's going to increase their listenership. If they're giving away stuff, then more people listen because they want to get some free stuff. Well, in order for them to give away a free certificate to Appleseed, they got to explain what it is. So start looking around. See if you can find some radio stations around there that are willing to give away these free certificates, you know, by explaining what they are on the air and giving it to folks who call in to answer whatever questions they have. All right? Check with your local talk show radio folks. Find some that are, like, constitutionally oriented or historically oriented. And there's a lot of them. And email them or call them and see if they would, if they'd be willing to give away some, you know, 8, 9, 10 Appleseed free certificates in exchange for talking about us on the radio show. All right? Okay, listen, while we're talking about this, go ahead and tell folks about what we were talking about the other day, Kirk, about getting, when you're talking about the Top Shot, and what is that? Is it on the Learning Channel or the History Channel, or what is that?
Yeah, it's on the History Channel, and what it is they put out, you know, people, it's kind of like Survivor a little bit, without quite as much drama, I guess. I never really watched Survivor, but they have all these people come on the show, and then they give them all these challenges, a wide range of challenges that they test the marksmanship on, and every week someone gets bumped off until only one person's left. So
right, and we've had a lot of Texans on Top Shot so far.
Yeah, and one of the guys out in California was actually on the show, one of the instructors in training, Jamie Franks, who is an Appleseed
right.
Rifle.
Right, and he's in the Appleseed. He's attended Appleseed, and so we've got a lot of folks out across the nation in all different areas that we're starting to leak into with Appleseed folks. And you were talking about getting putting together some kind of a, and we still haven't figured it out. I haven't anyway. You may have already figured it out. You're good at that. But figuring out a way to get all of the Top Shot guys to some kind of an event that we have that we can use to spread the word about Appleseed.
Yeah, hopefully we can get that worked out. I've talked to at least a couple of them here, and I know Pop has been talking to Dustin Ellerman, who won this last season, who lives over in East Texas. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we can get something worked out, and, you know, it could bring bring a lot of new eyes to the program that maybe haven't heard of it before, or maybe they've seen it a couple of times and didn't think much about it, you know. But it's funny how these, if it's on TV, it's, you know, it must be important. So maybe they ought to pay attention to it.
All right. And listen, guys, and I know you're going to hate me for doing this, Kirk, but I got to do it. So you guys that are, we still have the Billboard Project is still running, okay? So if you guys are ready for a billboard in your area, then get it okayed with Fred to get it a billboard. And once you've done that, if you need some specific art artwork for it, then talk to myself and to Spitstickler on the forum. Now, he's got a regular job. Actually, it's not a regular job. It's like two or three 40-hour-a-week jobs rolled into 1 week. But he can usually still find some time to help you with getting your artwork ready for the billboard. He already has a bunch of ready to go up artwork for billboards. So if you're ready for a billboard in your area, get it okayed by Fred, then talk to Kirk and myself, and we'll get you set up with a billboard in your area, okay?
Yep.
I know you're telling me thanks right now. So
No, I'm glad to help out. The part that that really the hard work comes with talking to the company, lining up everything, and, you know, getting the funding done, and then send me the artwork specs, and I can do the rest of it. But
right, and I've got the chat and the spiel for the billboard company's already done and worked out too. So it shouldn't be that hard of a project. Just if when you're ready, like I said, talk to Fred, and then get in touch with Kirk and I. And we'll get you set up with the artwork, and we can hold your hand through the process of getting it put up and getting it running in your state, all right? So be thinking about doing that. I want to tell you thanks, Kirk, because you've done a great deal of work, of the artwork for the Appleseed Project. The trifolds that you guys see that you hand out and stuff, that's Kirk's project that he put together. Absolutely beautiful. I think it's the best form of promotional materials that we have. It's absolutely fantastic. It's the right size. You can put a whole stack of them in your back pocket. When you go out somewhere, get yourself a box of 500 business cards from Vistaprint. You can get the cheap generic cards for about 10 or 15 bucks for 500 of them, and staple that card with your contact information in it into the trifold, and then hand those out. And, you know, it's just a very well-done piece of work, Kirk, and we really appreciate the time and effort you put into it.
Well, you're welcome. You know, I'm just trying to do my part. So.
Yeah, and you are.
Like everybody else.
And you said that you were getting ready for the Pecos Run and Gun next year. So, so
yeah,
we'll be seeing you there.
I'm actually,
and I know you've got the DFW shoot this weekend, right?
Yeah, I want to invite everybody to come out to the inaugural event at Quail Creek at the new DAR that they built for us. We're going to go put the backers up tomorrow afternoon. Unfortunately, it's already sold out. So
yeah,
you'll have to get in line for the next one. But
but you guys did a great job there, Kirk. You, Lauren, Andrew, and I want to thank the folks at Quail Creek Shooting Range there in DFW too, because they were so impressed with the program and the instructors that they went ahead and they built a complete range for the Appleseed Project so that they could hold events there every month, because we sell out every time we go there. They're behind what we're doing. They understand that it's a needed project, and they did. I want to thank them for donating the time and effort and money, because it costs money to do stuff like that, to build a dedicated range for Appleseed, because they'd given us a range down beside the handgun range. But I tell you, every time I was there, there were two or three Dirty Harrys right on the end and blasting away with 44 Magnums and 357s, and it was very painful to do the instruction, let alone tell the story while this is going on. So I really appreciate them doing that.
Yeah, Chris and Hank are great guys. They've been very supportive of the program from the beginning, and you know, you're saying thank you. Andrew and Lauren are, you know, did all the groundwork at this range and pretty much got everything up and running, and the rest of us are just kind of trying to help them out as much as we can. So thanks, Double L.
All right.
Thanks, Bart Fox.
All right, got anything else you wanted to add in before we switch over? I got some of the callers I'm going to get on.
Yeah, no, get them on, Scout. I want to hear the answer.
All right. All right, we'll take another call. Remember what? Now, give them the question one more time.
All right. Well, my wife's got the vacuum running inside. Yeah, it's essentially which marksman of one of the battles of Saratoga, I can't remember exactly how it went, but second, you should know, Second Battle of Saratoga, who's the marksman that made the difference?
Exactly. All right. So the Second Battle of Saratoga, there was a marksman. He was asked to do something, and he did it. And it pretty much changed the course of the battle, and thereby helping to alter the course of history. So who was he, and what did he do? All right, Kirk, thank you. And I'm not going to hang up on you. I'm just going to put you back in the queue. And if you want to say something, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to leave your mic open in case you want to say something else for now.
All right.
And then we're going to bring on Antebellum. Antebellum, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Scout. How are you doing?
I'm doing just great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
It's my pleasure. Well, first off, you got anybody that in your local crews that you'd like to say thanks to?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for doing this every single week. You are always here every week, no matter whether or not we show up every week. So thank you.
The show must go on.
Absolutely. So you do a great job. Thanks for doing that.
Well, thank you.
I do want to wish luck to a potential new Red Hat this weekend. HQ is doing her instructor PC in Atlanta, Indiana this weekend. So I don't know if she's listening or not, but I wanted to wish her luck. She'll be great.
Well,
but
no luck. No luck. We don't wish
not
for
luck.
People
You're
luck.
Right.
We wish for skill.
Absolutely. And she's
skill
got it.
Trump
so.
Luck every time.
Absolutely.
Well, we look forward to welcoming her into the ranks of the Red Hats and letting her take her seat in the Red Hat Council in her state.
Absolutely.
Well, how are things going with you and your co-instructor there?
Yeah, Rimshot and I are doing well, keeping busy here in Indiana. So we need to finish out the year strong and then hit 2012 running.
Yeah, and Ed has already talked to me about you guys in Indiana. So, from what I understand, Indiana is going to jump to the very tops of the ranks of the Appleseed Nation by running 180 shoots next year.
What? Nobody told me about this. 180, huh?
Yeah, actually, I think it's 120, but it's just 180 just sounds so much better.
It does sound great. So we'll just annex Texas and pretend you're part of Indiana and count your shoots then, too.
There you go. Well, I know you guys are going to do a great job, and 120 is a great number to shoot for. And can you imagine if every state said, all right, we're gonna double what we're going to do. We're going to cross over 100 shoots. So we'd be running 5,000 shoots. So say that at those 5,000 shoots, we only did 10 people. We're still talking about running 50,000 people through it with just 10 at a time. If you put in 20, we're talking about 100,000 people. So you guys are setting a great example there in Indiana. And Indiana has always been a strong performer and a strong leader in the program. And Illinois is right there beside you. Indiana and Illinois are both going to be really powerhouses in the coming year. And we're looking forward to the success of you guys and your events.
Yeah, well, thank you. We have a great state coordinator. Yellow House Jake does an amazing amount of work. So I don't even know how anyone can keep up with him. And that certainly helps keep Indiana on the right track.
All right. And what do you have? What's your next event coming up?
Well, this weekend, Indiana has Atlanta and Crawfordsville and Evansville. So I think I'm going to be in Crawfordsville on Sunday. I just sent a PM the rim shot, and he's going to be in Atlanta on Saturday and Crawfordsville on Sunday, but he probably doesn't know that yet.
he does now.
Yeah, now he does. So, yeah, well, we have a good weekend coming up.
Well, great. And you and Rimshot are still, last I heard, of course, I heard it because you were down here in Texas. Last I heard, you guys were not just you weren't just in Indiana. I mean, you guys had been out on the road to the surrounding states, all across the nation. You guys have been traveling quite a bit, right?
Yeah, I've hit quite a few states in the past year. I've definitely been blessed to meet some great people in Michigan. Went up to visit Wisconsin again. Illinois is always an easy one for me to get to. Went to check out Kentucky. And the big trip this summer was to Arkansas. So some good people down there.
And listen, I'm going to tell you guys, too, that having your significant other as your co-traveling partner is a great deal because you don't have to get your hotel room with some other smelly person or something. You have your loved one right there with you, and you guys aren't you're not split up going in different directions during the weekends and stuff. You actually get to travel around the United States, and now I'm not going to say that it's glamorous because I've traveled around quite a bit doing shoots, and I'll tell you right now that usually all I see is a hotel room and the range. And then anything I happen to drive by on the way to the range. Other than that, you don't have a whole lot of chances to see other stuff. But you can take Sunday night, I think. And there was a program, I don't know if it's still running, but there was a program that after you did a certain amount of shoots that the boss would pay for like an additional night or something for you and your spouse. So, but still, I think it's great that you guys are doing this because it gives you a chance to travel together. And I know both of you guys are very passionate about the project, and you do an excellent job. And it's really rewarding to be able to do that with your significant other. So
it really
so
is. It's really nice to have that. Yeah, thank you. You know, we love doing it, and we absolutely believe in Appleseed and to get the message out and wake up Americans. So we'll keep
right
at it. Keep working.
All right. Anything else you want to get out? Any other thanks that you want to give out to anybody?
You know, really just Yeah, well, big thanks to the Indiana crew. Everyone's really jumped in and done a fantastic job this year, and we're going to ask even more of them for 2012, but it'll be another good year.
All right. Well, thank you, Auntie Bella. And I will, matter of fact, I'm just going to keep leaving you guys on. You can hang up whenever you want to, but let's keep leaving you guys on. Just don't start shooting or anything in the background. I'm going to bring on Chris. He wanted to talk about Top Shot. Chris, welcome to the show.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, brother?
Oh, pretty good. You know what time of the year it is.
Yeah, I know. So, well, good skill on taking your folks out. This is Old Grunt from Oklahoma. He's been with the program for quite a while. He's a very good friend of mine, and I love having him around, except for 5 o'clock in the morning at boot camps. That's the only time I don't like Chris, and because he likes to get up and yell reveille and stand at attention in his skivvies out in the field there in the cold. But he's a great guy. But this time of year, Chris is he's a guide, and so he's nonstop guiding hunters out there in Oklahoma. And you've been working a great deal. Are you still working with the?
I elaborate if you
shooting.
I would elaborate if you'd let me.
All right, go ahead, Chris. I'll stop talking. You can start.
Okay. Well. Like always in Oklahoma, there's something going on in the shooting world, and Appleseed's always got a part to play in it, at least here in this state. I've had an opportunity to do several things this year. SWAT National was one of them. So there's people from Portugal, Germany, all over Europe that got to hang out. And we traded patches, so by the time the event was done, my Appleseed jacket was just a jacket. They took my patches from me because they wanted them. So Appleseed patches are in Europe right now.
Well, if there's any you need you can't get, just shoot me a email. I'll send them to you.
I need a Texas rocker, please.
Okay, you got them. I'll send you some.
But anyway, back to the Top Shot thing that Kurt was elaborating on, talking about earlier, is that there's been 3 seasons. It's getting ready to be the 4th. I don't know exactly who's on it yet, but for the last 3 seasons, there's been somebody that's either been to the Appleseed, shot an Appleseed, or known somebody from the Appleseed. So the producers all know about the program. And we've talked with both Chris Collins and some of the other guys throughout the other seasons that if we could get somebody, preferably a female, that would go ahead and apply towards the show, we could pretty much guarantee they'd get a casting call for that because they are aware of the Appleseed Project. And this last episode, my name got brought up a couple times because the guys from the school were actually on the show this time around. So it's kind of neat to see the Appleseed has grown since I've been around because I'm thinking it's almost 2000, late 6, early 7 that I've been around the program, and I haven't been able to do the magnificent things that you guys do, but I try and play my little part that I can for the program.
Well, how are you doing physically?
They went ahead and issued me some more feet for my – they had to make custom stuff for my feet, and I'm still having to use that leg brace on the right side, and I can't get up and run or anything, but as far as being on the ranges – I'm getting an opportunity to do that, and I guess the guys down south, they're going to me to come see them, and I know it's time for me to have a refresher RBC for sure because it's been a while since I've been on the line, so it wouldn't hurt to come hang out in your backyard for a couple of weeks.
Well, I'd love to see you. And listen, it's just about Veterans Day, and
sure.
we want to give all of our veterans thank yous, and including you, Chris. For those of you who don't know that Chris was a veteran, and he spent some time overseas in the Middle East and in the service of the United States, and he managed to get himself blown up and shot to rag dolls, and we certainly wish him the best. We do wish you the best. You're in my prayers, Chris, and I hope you continue to heal from that. And but it hasn't stopped you because you're still going 100 miles an hour. And like I said, I know that you're getting ready for the season. When, matter of fact, it starts this weekend for you, right? Last weekend.
It started September 1st. for what we do. We started it in September, so there's a lot of guys that have done a lot of bow hunting. A lot of good black powder hunting, and we've got another week and a half before rifle starts, and there's 11 tags to fill, and it won't take that long to do it.
All right. Do you guys have the special youth weekend? Is that before or after the season? Here in Texas, it's after the season.
We've got two of them. We've got one in each season. In other words, early bow, early black powder, early rifle, and they've already done the youth rifle early, but then they've also got other controlled hunts that landowners that are letting other kids get on there with, and not be towards their combined total for the tags for the years. But Oklahoma is real liberal, and so is Louisiana. We pretty much can do whatever we want as long as we don't have to tag them anymore. We just go on the internet, put in our name, and then that's how they tally it anymore. We don't even have to do paper tags anymore.
I didn't know that Oklahoma was a liberal state.
Well, when it comes to shooting the deer and all the animals, they let us pretty much do whatever we want.
I'm just giving you a hard time. Now, you guys remember what Chris just said, especially you females, because he just said that you're almost guaranteed a casting call. So all of the females, now listen, you got to be a rounded out shooter, okay? Because if you guys haven't seen Top Shot, they're going to ask you, there's going to be all kinds of stuff that you got to do. I think I've seen them swinging from ropes and shooting and throwing knives and hatchets and bows and arrows and you name it, they're doing it, handguns, rifles. But if you have a really good foundation, a rock-solid foundation in rifle marksmanship, then you're already well on the way because there's a lot of rifle marksmanship. But if you guys, any of the females that are listening, and you think you have what it takes, then get in touch with him. You can get in touch with Chris. I'm sure he can help guide you through it. He's old grunt on the forum.
Oh, yeah.
And send him a PM, and he can help you get started. And it would be great if we had a female apple seeder that they ended up on the show. So,
and if they came to Texas, it'd be even better because they've got a guy there in that state that if they're not a rounded out shooter, he can sure make sure, and that's Alonzo. Anybody who takes a course from Alonzo is going to learn more in just how to manipulate that system of whatever they're using. Alonzo's
well, you know what?
I'm
glad you brought that up because I just happened to have Mark Alonzo on another line because I wanted to congratulate him on the job that he is doing, not just here in Texas. Mark's been with the program for quite a while now, and he has been an absolutely fantastic instructor. He has gone, I mean, he's given 100%, and not just in Texas. He's branched out to help get the program started in Louisiana. He's been to Oklahoma and I believe Arkansas, and he's been all over the United States running Appleseed events and working and getting the message out, and he's done an absolutely fantastic job of that. So let me bring him on the show right now. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, how are you? Thanks for having me. Hello to OG, too.
And thank you, Mark, for all that you've been doing for the program. And let me say something else, too, that just like Chris was saying, Mark doesn't just talk the talk. He walks the walk. Mark and I went out to West Texas for the Pecos Run and Gun of the Sun, which is a very demanding event, and Mark placed in the top 10 there. He just got through with another event, a three-gun event. Where was that at, Mark?
That was in San Antonio, Texas.
In San Antonio, Texas. And he finished first in his category, and that's no small feat. He finished first in the three-gun challenge there, and he's been instructing rifles, handguns, combat carbine, shotgun. He has well over 1,000 hours of paper and courses, and Mark is also a veteran, so happy Veterans Day to you. Mark and I were at different times. We were in the same long-range reconnaissance patrol unit. And one last thing is that Mark Alonso and myself we're now offering courses to a company we started called Battle Road. And we're teaching rifle marksmanship, handgun, combat carbine, shotgun, you name it, we're teaching it. We've got a course coming up this weekend. Mark, tell us a little bit about what the folks that are coming this weekend are going to learn.
Okay. Well, first, let me clarify. I haven't been to Oklahoma at Appleseed or Arkansas, but I've been to Louisiana a lot. And earlier when y'all mentioned Louisiana being a liberal state, before y'all clarified that, I was thinking, man, I know some folks over there who are probably hot. But, that was taken care of, so I'm sure they understand. But and Louisiana, you know, I have to say, I've kind of passed the torch over to Steve McPeak. That guy and Pop are pretty much running that state. So if anybody out there is listening who lives in Louisiana or near Louisiana, get with those two guys because they sure do need some help. As far as Battle Road goes this weekend, you're right. We're going to be doing the rifle, shotgun, and a handgun. But when I was coming up with these lesson plans, I was thinking, you know, for me, what's most important is getting people up to speed first on their handguns. You know, I've been a police officer for, next month will be 20 years, and I've seen a lot of good people get hurt by a lot of bad folks. And I'd much rather get them up to speed with handguns because many states have the CHL, a concealed carry license, and we are one of them, thank God. And that's what we're going to be focusing on, at least for the first 6 months, is getting everybody on the same sheet of music and trying to get folks off of that target shooting mentality, off of that linear type range where your target is always in front of you. And as you know, we're working on your property and we're have our 360-degree range under construction right now, so anywhere you go in the nation, that's pretty darn hard to find is some place where you're going to walk into and you're going to have targets behind you, to your sides, in front of you. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I just looked out. Went out there today and looked. The equipment is still working out there, and they have the vehicle defense bay is just about finished. That's where we'll have a vehicle inside a completely enclosed bay. So that you'll be able to, we'll be able to give you instruction on how to defend yourself from your vehicle. If you're in your vehicle and you need to use your firearms to defend yourself, we're going to be teaching that. And just like Mark said, we've talked about this a lot, and there are a lot of folks out there that teach a lot of different courses, and a lot of times the course is. I'm not going to talk about anybody else's course. I'm just going to tell you this, that we spend a lot of time talking about what really happens when you're involved in a situation that requires the use of your firearm. And what we're going to be showing you is what you really need to know and how you really need to react in the event that you have to use your firearm to defend yourself. So the courses have really been tailored to a real-world aspect of firearms use.
Yeah, very much so. Like I said, over the years, I've been very fortunate to where, I guess since pretty much 1996, I've had access to go to all types of different schools. A lot of the instructors were from overseas, you know, English guys, South African, Israeli. And I've spent a lot of time doing this stuff, and I've got to see what works and what probably doesn't work and pick and choose and modify to suit what I believe is going to be effective. And it's been a very long road to get all this stuff together, but I believe we have it down, and people will benefit from this.
Well, I completely agree. This weekend we'll be teaching the level 1 and level 2 handguns. But we also offer a basic course, which is a 4-hour course, just to if you don't have a lot of skills with your handguns, and we've got a basic course of 4 hours that can help you get up to speed. We'll have level one and level two, which once again are going to teach you in level one, the basics of drawing from concealed, and go ahead and give the rundown of what level one, level two is going to be this weekend, Mark.
Well, level one is going to be starting off, getting everybody online, and we're just going to begin firing our pistols, working with a proper grip, something that you would get in most basic classes. And we're going to fire and engage our targets with maybe one round. We're going to continue to go on and do that, and eventually by the end of the day, we're going to be moving offline and engaging what our standard is, 3 to 4 rounds per second. A lot of ranges, as you know, don't allow that. The range my home range here in Crosby, Texas, rapid fire is considered one round. About
every 3 seconds, right?
One round every 60 seconds. Yeah, so you can't fire like that, and you can't draw from your holster. And what we're going to be doing is virtually all of our firing will always begin from a concealed position. And that's pretty much where level one's going to end, is when we finally build everybody up to getting 3 to 4 rounds per second. Level two, we're going to practice a little bit of what we did in level one, but we're going to have a lot more shooting and getting offline. And once all the shooters are good to go, getting offline as they draw to get away from the threat, we're going to start incorporating some movement. The movement I believe works, that's worked for us out on the street, is, I vary from some other folks. I'm not one for the slow, methodical moving to the side, backing up, or whatever. That would be extremely hard to do when somebody's firing live rounds at you. So I like a good, quick movement, a quick running, and when you fire, that's when you're going to plant your feet and you're going to engage. And you may not always have that perfect stance, but that's something you got to deal with. Another good thing about your property as well is our shooting lanes are going to be about 12 feet wide, so we can get that proper movement versus
right.
going to somewhere else where you're stuck in a lane maybe 3 or 4 feet and, you have an instructor tell you, well, what you really would do is this, but since we're at this range, you can't do that and just stand right here and draw. We're going to be out here and we're going to actually be doing it, and it's going to be somewhat physically demanding because our shooters are going to be pretty much running and getting out of the way.
Right. We're going to be able to do a lot of stuff that you can't do it in most ranges. And we'll also offer level three courses, which is more movement and includes clearing your home, clearing rooms and bedrooms and stuff like that. And we also have other courses that we're working up right now, including the women's only courses. One of the women's only courses is going to take women, and we'll show you how to get out of restraints, zip ties, duct tape, rope, handcuffs, stuff like that. Then teach you some very quick, basic self-defense moves in hand-to-hand, and then get you to fire at targets under a stressful situation so that you can get some inoculation to stress, and also give you an introduction to the different types of firearms there are, like handguns and shotguns and rifles and stuff, so that whenever you see a shotgun, you'll at least have some of the basic knowledge of how to load it, how to see if it has a round in it, how to fire it. The same thing with the pistols. We'll try and give you a basic understanding of the different firearms so that you're not looking at it trying to figure out how it even works. And if there's any more, if you have any questions, you're welcome to contact myself or Mark Alonso, Alonso 1 on the forum. And you can, what is the website, Mark?
BattleRoadUSA.com.
That's it. BattleRoadUSA.com. And we're also working up some events ourselves. We should be having, they should be appearing probably right about this time in 2012, where we'll be running events like three gun events and like the Pecos Running Gun in the Sun. We'll be running those type of events ourselves, where we'll be moving from station to station, You'll be negotiating obstacles. You'll be doing this under a time limit, and you'll be scored on the time it takes you to complete the course and on your marksmanship abilities at each of the stations. So keep checking for that. Is there anybody that you wanted to thank, Mark?
Well, you and everybody out there who's serving or has served, you're right, it's Veterans Day. Thank you all very much. All the folks out there working really hard in Appleseed, and like I said, especially the folks in Louisiana. Every time I think I've been on the show, I haven't been on lately, but I keep mentioning Louisiana because I've become really good friends with Steve McPeak, and they are running with a skeleton crew out there. And it's a good place. Appleseed is hot over there, but they need some help. So if you're in Louisiana, around Louisiana, or heck, you just want to go to over there for some good food and Appleseed, sign up and help those boys out.
That's right. Same thing with Arkansas. Arkansas is just getting started, and they could use some help there too. So any of you folks that are listening and you would like to see the great states of Louisiana and Arkansas, they could certainly use you over there. Be sure and contact the state coordinator for Arkansas and for Louisiana, and see if you can't plant your feet in those states and help them get started, get their program up and running. All right. Thanks to you, Mark, for the work that you've done there in Louisiana. And let's see, Alex. I don't know if you got dropped or if you just hung up, but Alex had called in and said he had the answer to the question. So you're welcome to call back, and I'll take you next, Alex, if you want to. I guess I could ask you, Mark, if you I can't ask you right now because I think Alex was on before you, so I need to give him a chance to answer the question first.
Okay.
And then I will see you this weekend, Mark, I guess tomorrow sometime, right?
Yeah, I think I'll be pulling in your place around 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for what you're doing with the program. Like I said, Mark isn't just, he's not just talking the talk. He's walking the walk. He shot with, you shot with the team that Lauren put together, right?
No, I didn't make it.
Okay.
I didn't do
that. I thought you had shot with one of the events that they had put together. But while I'm talking about that, let me encourage you guys, all of the folks, if you can put together a shooting team in your state, and then you can start entering those folks in the different events around the state, wearing your Appleseed uniform, shooting as an Appleseed team with iron sight rifles and surplus ammunition, and showing the folks that what we do at Appleseed really works, then that would be a great idea to help get the exposure for the program and to get some more recruits. If they see you guys out there walking the walk with your Appleseed uniforms on and placing and taking trophies and stuff in your state, then that will do a great deal to help promote the program. So I encourage all of you to put together shooting teams for your state and start entering events. All right, well, thank you, Mark, and happy Veterans Day to you and to all of the rest of the veterans out there. It's tomorrow, actually, but happy Veterans Day to you tomorrow, and I will see you this weekend.
Okay, same to you, Mike, and take care, everybody.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Like I said, we've got Alex had called in saying he wanted to answer the question. And, Alex, if you're still listening, if you want to call in, I'll put you straight on. And the question was, in the Battle of Saratoga, the Second Battle of Saratoga, there was a rifleman who was asked to do something, and his marksmanship ability helped change the course of events of the battle. And by altering the course of the events at the battle, he helped alter the events of the war. All right, and so we're looking for who the person was and what he did. So if you call him with that, then we'll send you a a couple of free Appleseed attendance certificates so that you can send, you can give them to somebody that you would like to attend. Or if you haven't been to an Appleseed, you answer the question, and we'll send them to you so that you can attend an Appleseed rifle marksmanship event and at no charge. Now, let me remind folks that there are a couple of free categories for Appleseed attendance. That is law enforcement and active duty guard and reserve. If you're a member of law enforcement, a policeman, a sheriff, a constable, a prison law enforcement officer, a sheriff, a state trooper, if you're FBI, DEA, ATF, any of those organizations, then you can attend an event at no cost. We're doing that to give back to those who are helping to safeguard American citizens, our military. We want them to make sure that they can make the shot when it's needed. And we certainly want our civilian law enforcement officers to be able to do the same. If you're a woman or a child under 21 years of age, then the women can attend for $10 and the kids for $5. That way, if you want to come to an event, if you're the head of your household, a male head of the household, you want to come to an event and you want to bring your family, if it's you and your wife and your two kids, it's not going to be $280. It's going to be $70 for you, $10 for your wife, and $5 for each of your kids. Because we want families to attend. We want you guys to come together as family groups. And you don't have to worry about teaching your kids to shoot. We'll do that for you, all right? You can come and you can have a pleasant time just by being able to shoot yourself. And we'll take over instructing your wife and your kids in rifle marksmanship, all right? I wanted to mention a couple of things. This is, I don't know what category this goes into. You can put it where you want. But I happened to be watching TV the other night, and I was searching through the programs for some Revolutionary War show, and I put in Founding Fathers, and I came back with a show on the History Channel entitled Aliens and the Founding Fathers. So I ended up watching this show, and first of all, one of the guys had really fantastic hairdo, but they were talking about how the Founding Fathers... some connection to aliens and the Founding Fathers. And it was pretty amazing. I'm not going to... and listen, before you even go any further, we're not going to take any calls about aliens or otherworldly things, okay? I'm just mentioning this because it had the Founding Fathers in it, because they talked about Jefferson seeing a large craft hovering in a field on one of his trips, and about Washington supposedly talking to some green-skinned Indians, I believe he called them, and how the aliens might have altered the course of our history by interacting with the Founding Fathers. So this is pretty out there, but I wanted to mention this because it does concern the Founding Fathers. I don't know how you can Google this and look at some of the clips and stuff. I just thought it was very interesting. Now we do have plenty of there are plenty of historical programs that are pretty interesting and informative to watch, and they have those on the History Channel. And they run a series through every now and then, which is about the American Revolutionary War. And I believe it's either 10 or 12 episodes long, and they go through section by section of different categories that they talk about, like different battles and stuff like that. I think it's very interesting, and I recorded those, and I watch them every now and then to help brush up on it. Now, obviously, it's like Revolutionary War history light, you know, kind of like a light beer. It's like light history. But sometimes you will listen to some of the information, and you'll find some stuff out that you didn't know. But it is interesting to watch, nonetheless. All right, we got another caller who says he's got a some information here. This is Jimmy. Jimmy, I believe you're from New Mexico, right?
Yes, we are, boss. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm surviving, getting ready for the Midland shoot this weekend. So had a couple of good times on the radio down there, KWEL and also KCRS, plugging the shoot this coming weekend. So hopefully we might have a fairly full line.
Well, Midland's always been a pretty good location. You know, they've got a lot of folks there, and it's also, you know, Texas is pretty big, and Midland, the Midland area covers a pretty large area out there. So I hope I hope you have a good crowd there.
We're planning on it, and you know, I'm across the border over here in New Mexico, but the thing is, I was raised in Monahans, and my wife was raised in Odessa, so it's home for us. And
the
new 80 acres.
You know Smokey Briggs then, right?
No.
He's the editor. He runs the Monahans Press. He puts out the paper there.
Okay. I haven't been back in home to meet a bunch of the folks there a long time, but I'm sure I'll be running into him sometime soon. But,
well, what do you got?
Other
you
thing
you
is,
got an important announcement.
Yeah, I do. Every year, for the last 6 years, my wife Teresa and I, she's also a Blue Hat, have helped a project that is near and dear to our hearts, and I think you'll understand. It's called Christmas for Our Troops. And it's based out of Midland there. And our goal this year is 2,500 names and APOs. And we're plugging along, working on it. And our packing day this year is going to be December 7th. That falls into history somewhere, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to get everybody, if they could, out there on Appleseed. I was going to put it on the forum somewhere, but I didn't know where. So I figured I'd do it this way. If folks can go to ChristmasForOurTroops.org, all one word, that's the main webpage, and on the left side it says addresses. If they'll go down and click that box, they can put in the names and the APOs. And,
okay.
You know, we're focusing on Afghanistan this year. Still have some troops in Iraq and Dubai and places like that. So if they've got names and APOs over there, get them to us. We need them.
Okay, what are you guys going to do? How does the program work?
What we do is when you go to the webpage, we're 501c3, and we've got drop-off boxes here in Artesia, Roswell, and Carlsbad, New Mexico. We've got about 40 drop-off boxes with both the troop list and the canine list on them, and folks donate items to that are on the list, and then on packing day, we take all of these items and set them up in an assembly line. And volunteers will take a box and they go to each station and they put cards and letters in, and then they go put something else in, and each station down. And Smith & Wesson, which we're all familiar with, has stepped up again this year. And I've got a beautiful show and tell that I carry with me that gets to go in one of the boxes going overseas, but they have provided, I think it's 2,600 this year, of their tactical SWAT knife. And each one of these will go in each box to the troops over there. And what's really beautiful, first off, it's their design that will puncture body armor. The second thing is the blade right across it on the right-hand side says thank you. and you know, to our troops, from Christmas for our troops and everything. So that's a very special item. I love pulling that out and showing it to folks and saying, hey, you get us a name and an APO, one of these is going in the box. So it's you know, Smith & Wesson, they don't build cheap stuff.
Wow. That's great. Well, is there any other way they can help? Is there any way that folks can donate anything, or how can folks help out the program?
Well, they when they go to the website there, we can always take, you know, there's cash donations. Here in southeast New Mexico at Carlsbad National Bank, they've got an account set up. And last year was $30,000+ in postage. This year we're looking at probably around $32,000 in postage. So cash donations help. But the other thing, too, is the items. But the most important thing is the name and the APO. We could gather everything in the world, and without the name and the APO, it doesn't work. It's no good. And, I've, you know, over the last several shoots and everything, I've got a good supply of the trifolds. So one thing I'm going to do on packing day is every box is going to have a trifold from Appleseed in it. So
perfect.
That our kids that are over there, when they come home, they'll be able to look for something else, too, and somebody that supports them.
Hey, any way that you can put a AQT in there, too?
Ooh, now, that would be cool.
Well, I'll be glad
to
send them to you. You let me know how many you need. We'll be glad to send them to you.
If you can get them to me, I'll get them in the box. I'll get them in the box. And I was thinking about a red coat in there, but, you know,
okay, well,
AQT would
see any
be
reason
really
we can't,
cool.
I don't see any reason we can't do both.
No, because, you know, we've got the space in the box, and they don't take up space. So.
And then maybe ask them to take a picture of them shooting it. You know, we can get them to send them to us, and we can post them.
Cool. Now that is something neat. I can get on the computer and see what I can work out for cards to go with them, and we could staple that and the trifold to the AQT and the red coat and get one in each box.
That sounds great.
That would be cool. That would be
cool. That sounds great. All right, let's do it. I'll write that down here. And you're looking at $2,500 as your goal.
Yeah, it's our goal. We've always exceeded it. The first year that Teresa and I worked at Christmas for our troops, we did 240 boxes. The second year, we did 600. And we set a goal of 1,000. And my wife and Scott, who this is his brainchild, they conspired together. And, of course, I consented. I'd stand on my head and juggle pumpkins for our kids over there. You know, being in the Coast Guard, being a disabled vet, too many times that mail call came around and my hands were empty. So,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
To me this is very, very special. And we set the goal of 1,000, and Scott and Teresa conspired against me, and if we hit 1,000, they shaved 25 years of Coast Guard beard and hair off. And we hit 1,232, and I set in the main lobby of Tate Branch Dodge in Artesia, New Mexico, with the newspaper and everybody there, and got shaved. I went totally cue ball. And second year, they couldn't shave my head, so they conspired against me again and spiked my hair and dyed it red, white, and blue. So there are pictures of that, by the way, on the website.
excellent. Well, when you do this, we'll get it worked out. We'll get the... we'll get the AQTs and the red coats sent to you, and then make sure you put a I don't know if you can do this, for maybe you can just add it to your thing or something, that if they can take a picture of themselves with the AQTs that they shot, then we'll get we'll find a place to gather those all together and put them on the website.
That would be cool. That would be great. And I can probably build, work it up on a business card or something that I can print out on the computer or business card size, and we can put that on there and give them an email address and staple it all together.
Excellent. So, yeah, that's excellent. Well, I'll put you in touch. I'll talk to the folks who can help make this happen so that they can
okay.
be sending
and,
their photographs and stuff straight to the IT folks. And then and I know what you're talking
I
about.
I want to tell you.
I spent many,
one more thing
I spent
I
many
say.
Years overseas. Go ahead.
Yep. Well, it was just, you know, the guys that do our supply boxes and everything, they're the unsung heroes. Because I've never had a shoot, you know, I'm a relatively new shoot boss. But I have never had a shoot come up that the box didn't arrive on time or early. And, it, you know, if there was something missing in it, it was noted and why. So,
right.
you know, the folks that fill those boxes, you know, they, you know, give them a raise.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that we're trying to do with folks like you, calling in and reminding people that this organization doesn't just run by itself. There are people everywhere doing their jobs, and many of them are thankless jobs. The folks that are listing the shoots, the folks that are doing promotions, the folks that are handling the finances of it, the folks that are packing the boxes. Without the folks packing the boxes, and you don't get the boxes. And there are people
That's
that
right.
are doing this every, all of the time, and they should be thanked because that's a thankless job, and thank the Lord I don't have to do it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what I'll do, too, is I'll take this knife out, and I'll take some pictures of it, and I'll PM them to you so you can see.
Okay.
This is something that Smith & Wesson does, and Hoppy's last year, it was Remington, donated 3 pallets of Rim oil in the small bottles that went in the boxes. And the boar snakes, 22 caliber and 50 caliber and 30 caliber boar snakes.
Wow.
So we send these – the one thing that folks can really do is if they go to that website, go to the letters and read the letters from these, and I call them kids, and on the radio shows and everything I do for it and Appleseed, when I call them kids, people, you know, why do you call them kids? Because I'm an old fart and I can. I've been there.
Right.
So I can get away with it.
Yeah, and like I was saying earlier, is that I understand completely about standing there at mail call, especially when you're overseas and you feel like you're out at the end of the world, you're standing there at mail call and they get through the whole list and he hands out the last letter and you got nothing. And it's just terrible.
These kids will suck it up and, you know, they're a tough Marine. They're tough SEAL. They're special forces. They can handle it. And they walk away and they've got this hole the size of a basketball in their chest. Wondering
right.
if anybody remembers them. And,
right, because
and these
every
boxes,
time that,
best,
every time they call your name out, their mail call, it's just like it's like you won the lottery.
That's it. You know, and when I was on board ship, one of the most perfect packages I got, my brother always used to take and collect all of the Odessa Americans and put them in a box and send them to me. And those newspapers were one of the most valuable things on board ship. I mean, yeah, they're reading news that's 2 months old, but it's there. And, you know, when we did a couple of weeks back at Walmart here in Artesia, we had boxes set up at both the entrances for Christmas for our troops, and we're talking to folks about it. And a kid came up that was over there, and one of his buddies got one of our boxes. And he was talking about how in the bottom of that box there was one of these small packets, one of these small bags of Reese's Pieces. And that kid made that bag of Reese's Pieces last over a month. Every night he would put one on his tongue and let it dissolve and enjoy it and think of home, and he wouldn't have another one until the next evening. And you know, folks, you know, I know apple cedars are the greatest people in the world. Just think about how much difference one bag of Reese's Pieces or one bag, 50-cent bag of sunflower seeds means to these kids. It's priceless to them.
Yeah, and you know they can get a lot of there's a lot of stuff they can get from the pogey bait shops and stuff there that they're running over there, the PX and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you that getting a package with even just a little package of five sticks of gum in it from home beats the hell out of going to the PX and getting the pogey bait there. It tastes different. It means something different. Anytime you have a chance to interact with some of our American servicemen overseas, then please take that chance too. And like I said, we're going to get you hooked up with the supplies and stuff.
Our boxes go all the way to the furthest forward operating bases. They go as far into country as there is an APO. And, some folks around here can hit the gee-dunk and get something, but these kids over there, it's a whole different world, and just that one box is precious. And the letters and the cards, if some of the apple seeders want to get together and get the kids to write letters and cards, and they want to PM me, it's real easy. It's J-I-M-I. On the forums, if they want to PM me, I'll give them an address that they can mail it to, because these kids, this young man that I talked to, he still had a letter that he got in his box, and that was 3 years ago. Carries that letter with him today. Whenever he starts getting down, he looks at that letter, and this kid's telling him about their puppy dog, and their dad was in the service, and they appreciate people, and You've been there. You're like me. We both understand, and it's great to let other people understand what these kids go through. That's why my wife and I, this has been our tried and true project for years. Appleseed fills up 11 months of the year, but for actually a month and a half, almost 2 months, it's Appleseed and it's Christmas for our troops.
All right. Well, listen, there's another thing that I'm going to get you to mention real quick, because as part of our helping our fellow apple seeders, you also have a company that provides long-term storage food. And
yes, sir.
We'd like for you to get the information out about that. You give it to me slowly, and the call screener will type it into the chat. But tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, one thing that Teresa and I got involved with years ago, well, actually, it's been about 2 years now, is it was eFoods, eFoods Global. People will hear them on the radio advertisements and everything else. And we got involved with this, and I eat the stuff weekly, and when I go to Apple Seeds, I've got it in there, because all you have to do is add water, just like the ads say. You know, you add water, cook it for about 20 minutes, and you got a gourmet meal. And boy, I'd given my eye teeth to had some of this stuff and everything when I was in the military.
Well, I was in a long range reconnaissance patrol unit, so we had LERPs, and I know that this stuff isn't like LERPs, but I'm telling you, the LERP stuff was horrible. But the food that you're offering is not, because this is many years later, and you guys, the company, has developed a great food program. And I encourage everybody to consider that there may be a time in the future when you can't go out and get food, and to have a minimum of a couple of months worth of food that you can store up in your home that's not going to go bad, and that you can have as a buffer to get you through any possible rough times ahead. And if you're going to buy some, then get some from a fellow apple seeder. So can you give us the link to get in touch with you?
That's what I'm working on right now. I can't pull it out of my head real quick, but it's Desert Eagle Farms. And it's now called Go Foods. They've changed it for the people in the eFoods lines and everything. It's called Go Foods. I do have it on the forum there for the support the apple seeders on the business deal, if they look up Jimmy or search that for Jimmy, J-I-M-I, it's got a link right to our stuff. And the fastest way I can do it here, if I can just pull up one of my emails here, that's, I've got it in my signature on my emails. So, isn't that terrible when you sit there and you can't even remember your own website?
Yeah. Well, I just pulled up Desert Eagle Farms.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? MyEFoods.com?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. That's
Desert
one.
Eagle Farms, one word, DesertEagleFarms.MyEFoods.com. So that's DesertEagleFarms.MyEFoods.com. And I'll just steal the address out of here and slap it on the chat.
And Unbridled
real quick.
Liberty just sent me a deal for an APO. If she can email that to me or PM it to me, Unbridled Liberty, I'll get that on the mailing list.
All right. So you guys, if you have a friend or relative who's serving overseas currently, if you can get the information to Jimmy, then he will add it to the list. And what is the you said that there's a website for this, right?
Yes, it's real easy to remember. It's christmasforourtroops.org. Christmas for Our Troops is all one word.
Okay. christmasforourtroops.org. And if you can get him to the address, the APO address, and that's the address that's used for shipping something to the military overseas, then he can get one of the packages that they're building up right now. He can get one of them sent to the person that you give the address for. So if you have a friend or a relative or a family member that's serving overseas in Afghanistan right now, then get that address to him, and he will put together a package and get it sent over there. And we really appreciate what
and
you guys are doing.
Oh, it's I've been there too many times. And, you know, the Coast Guard, I won't use the actual phrase that we used to refer to ourselves to, but we were the blank stepchild of the military for the longest time. And, you know, I know what it's like, and these kids, I mean, my God, you read the letters on the website. And I've got them when my wife, Teresa, she makes a lot of the drop-off boxes and everything, and she takes copies of those letters and puts them on there so folks can read what these kids say. And one that, you know, Corporal Cox, that letter, it's almost stuck in my mind. I've read it so many times on the radio. And she talks about getting the box and everything, and she mentions on there that there are a lot of kids that don't have families, and these boxes mean the world to them. Because, first off, they're not expecting the box. Second off, they don't know anybody in Midland, Texas. But we found out that the borders for West Texas and New Mexico run from Maine to Hawaii and from Alaska to Key West and beyond. So it's very important to us, and it's I love it.
Wow. Well, listen, thanks for what you do, Jimmy, and you guys get your addresses, get your APOs, and send them to...
One trivia question for you real quick, Scout.
Okay.
APO, you know. Do you know what FPO is?
What an FPO is?
Foxtrot Papa Oscar. FPO.
I'm not sure.
Fleet Post Office.
It's what?
It's Fleet Post Office. It's
Fleet
Post Office.
Yeah.
For the Navy and Marines.
Yeah, well, we had we had that typed in right before you said what it was. The co-host typed that in, so he knew what it was.
Yeah, I know that co-host over there, and I miss him. I got to go visit him sometime soon.
Well, like I said, if you guys have an FPO or a APO, then you send it in to christmasforourtroop.org, and Jimmy and his group are going to try and get out the packages. so that they all have them. They all are getting something from folks back here in the States to help show them that we're thinking about them and that we appreciate what they're doing. And also, if you are looking at acquiring some food for long-term for storage to buffer you for to get you through a rough place in an uncertain future, you can go to www.deserteaglefarms.myefoods.com, and Jimmy can get you set up with some long-term food. Well, listen, I want
and
to thank
one other
you.
Thing about, I'm gonna,
okay, go ahead.
I'm going to drop you a PM. My friend Dave and I, your co-host knows who he is, and the other instructors out here, he shot a 238 on his first AQT with a lever action 22. So we've got 80 acres down south of Imperial and need to talk to you about putting in a DAR down there as well. So
all
that's
right.
Something for in the future.
Well, let me know what I can do because I'll be glad to help you get it set up.
We just need info on how to do it.
I'll be glad to give you a hand with that. All right. Well,
Boss,
thank you so much for what you guys
you.
Are doing.
And I want to thank Appleseed because for someone that used to be antisocial, Appleseed has really kind of gotten me out of my shell. My wife jokes that Appleseed created a monster. And
well, that's
but
good.
I love it.
All
and
it took
I think
was...
we're going to have a great shoot at Midland.
All it took was putting you into contact with the other people in the nation who are kind of just like you, right?
That's it. They, you know, my mom always told me I was slightly odd, but, you know, now we've proved it.
Well, thank you, Jimmy, for what you're doing for the Appleseed Project, for the troops, and good luck with your with the upcoming shoot in Midland, and good luck with the Christmas for our troops. Endeavor. All right.
These kids, I do it for all these kids, and I thank you. And thank everybody in Appleseed for everybody you do. Have a good night, boss.
All right. Thank you, sir. Well, that is the just a great job and a great endeavor. So let me repeat again that any of you guys that that have an APO or an FPO for any of your friends or family members, loved ones, Afghanistan, anywhere over in the Middle East there, remember www.christmasforourtroops.org and get the addresses in to Jimmy and his crew there so they can send a package off to them. And we'll also work with him on getting him set up with some redcoats and AQTs and trifolds that he can send off with all of those packages too, and get them to take some pictures of themselves over there shooting, holding some impromptu apple seeds and shooting the AQTs, and we'll get those up on the website. All right, so a while ago we had Kirk, we had Spitstickler saying that there was a specific rifleman, and he was at the second battle of Saratoga, and he did something that helped change the course of the battle, and in doing so helped alter the course of the war. And we asked you guys to call in if you knew the answer, and Alex called in, and I didn't get a chance to get him on. And said he knew the answer. And if you want to call back in, you're welcome to. But I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you knew what the answer was, or otherwise you wouldn't have called. And Alex, if you can get me your address, you can PM it to me, or then I'll be glad to send you the this free certificates for you to either for you to use or for you to give out to. You know, one of your friends or family members, et cetera, so that you can get the benefit of that. So, Alex, you can PM me on the forum, Scout, or you can email me at RWVA Range Scout, one word, rwvarangescout@gmail.com. All right? And I'll be glad to hook you up with those free certificates. All right. Well, to answer the question, the fellow's name was Timothy Murphy. All right? On June 29, 1775, this was right after the start of the Revolutionary War, Timothy Murphy and his brother John both enlisted as part of the Northumberland County Riflemen. And this was specifically, they specifically joined Captain John Loudon's company. Now, their unit saw action in the Siege of Boston, which, remember, was the beginning of the American Revolutionary War there. You had the April 19th events, which occurred at Lexington, then at the North Bridge in Concord, and finally along Battle Road back to Boston. Once they got to Boston, they sewed up all of the British troops in Boston, and they kept them there for almost a year. Actually, it was, I think for just about a year, they kept them sewn up in this the city of Boston. Then Murphy and his brother fought in the Battle of Long Island, and they skirmished through Westchester. After all of this, Murphy was promoted to the rank of sergeant in the Continental Army's 12th Pennsylvania Regiment. He fought at the battles of Trenton and at Princeton. You remember those battles? Those were the battles that ended up altering the course of the American Revolutionary War also, because until the battles of Trenton and Princeton, that was at the end of 1776, It seemed like the war was heading for disaster. We had been consistently run out of one state after another, and the winter was long and hard. There was no food, no money for the troops as the enlistment of the troops ran out. They were leaving and going home. And finally, at the very end of the year, they fought the battle at Trenton and the battle at Princeton, and they managed to achieve tremendous victories at those, and thereby giving a shot in the arm to the American Revolutionary War and helping to re-energize it and start a completely new ball game. All right, Murphy was an expert marksman, and which means an expert marksman at the time was defined as being able to hit a 7-inch target at 250 yards. Let me repeat that for you: a 7-inch target at 250 yards. Now, you guys who have your IMC, you should be able to do the math on that and determine what they were shooting there. All right, a 7-inch target at 250 yards. Now, this is with a black powder rifled barrel. This wasn't the musket. It wasn't the smoothbore. It was a actual rifled barrel. But it was still a black powder rifle. You pour in a certain amount of gunpowder. You push the projectile down on top of it. Then you pull back the hammer and pour some gunpowder into the flash pan. Then you shut the flash pan, put the hammer to full cock. When you squeeze the trigger, it causes the hammer to go forward, and the hammer is a piece of metal with a rock screwed into it, okay? A rock screwed into it. You squeeze the trigger and the hammer goes forward and the rock hits another piece of metal and causes a spark to be directed in the flash pan, which ignites a charge which goes through a tiny hole into the barrel to ignite the main charge. Okay? This is a very slow and messy way of doing what we now do today with metallic cartridges and CNC machined equipment and computer control loading, etc. And yet, they were still able to consistently, and we're not talking about accidentally hitting a target, a 7-inch target at 250 yards. We're talking about hitting it over and over, hitting it every time you're asked to hit it. Okay, because of this skill, in July of 1777, this led Murphy to joining Daniel Morgan's newly formed Sharpshooter Corps. Later that year, he was selected as one of 500 hand-picked riflemen to go with General Daniel Morgan to upstate New York to help stop General John Burgoyne and the British Army. As the battles around Saratoga raged, the British, having pushed back, were being rallied by Brigadier General Simon Fraser. Now, this is the second battle of Saratoga, also called the Battle of Bemis Heights. As the battle raged, British regulars were being rallied by Brigadier General Simon Fraser on horseback. Now, at the time, Benedict Arnold had not yet committed his treason, and he was working there with the Continental troops. He rode up to General Morgan. He pointed at Fraser and told Morgan that the man was worth a regiment. He's talking about Fraser, because Fraser was rallying the troops. Morgan called on Murphy and said, "That gallant officer is General Fraser. I admire him, but it is necessary that he should die. Do your duty." Murphy climbed to a nearby tree, took careful aim at the extreme distance of 300 yards, and fired four times. The first shot was a close miss. The second grazed the general's horse. And with the third, Fraser tumbled from his horse, shot through the stomach. General Fraser died that night. All right. With his fourth shot, as British senior officer Sir Francis Clerk, General Burgoyne's chief aide-de-camp, galloped onto the field with a message, Murphy fired again. The shot killed Francis Clerk instantly. Murphy also fought at the Battle of Middle Fort in 1780. All right. That is the answer. Now, we're not talking about a scoped rifle on a bench firing hand-loaded precision ammunition. We're talking about a flintlock rifle. Not only that, this was not just an ordinary rifle either. This was a double-barreled flintlock rifle. Okay, he had two barrels independent of each other. And he fired at 300 yards, all right, 300 yards, and killed the two top men in the battle. Because of that action, the Continental troops ended up winning the battle. All right, that's the answer, Timothy Murphy. And if you'd like to read more from him, just Google the name and look it up. All right, we want to thank everybody that called in tonight. And we want to remind you that next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central, we'll have Sheriff Richard Mack on the show. So please be sure and tune in there. Sheriff Richard Mack has done a great job over the last few years for promoting constitutional law. And I know that you'll be happy to hear him speak. And you can call in and if you have questions for him. All right, thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody, tonight. And we look forward to seeing you next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central. All right, good night. Good night, everyone.
on some good smoke. While I'm